Yeah, so ultimately, how I see AI within financial services or financial advice is a kind of end-to-end process. So the advisor has the meeting, you do all your letters of authority, you get all that information, you get the fact find done. It's all done via that sort of transcript. You bung all that information to the software, and then it chucks out a suitability report. And then, I think a lot of people are saying, oh, will this take over from us, or will this take over from people? I still think you'll need people to kind of top and tail it to make sure the advice makes sense. But from my perspective, the next stage is suitability report writing, and it's making sure that I just put on the chat earlier, someone says, do you still need a paraplanner? Personally, I think you will, but instead of hiring four or five paraplanners, you may just have two writing twice as much business. And that's kind of where it's going. And Ian, we kind of mentioned that the direction of travel in the industry, you've got a lot of advisors kind of on the end of their careers and not enough people coming through. So ultimately, you're going to start cherry picking, advisors are going to be cherry picking, making the wealth gap wider. I think this is just going to enable advisors, small businesses to be able to take on a lot more volume but still deliver the same service. And I think if you have a suitability report writing tool, which we do at the moment, which actually saves us a lot of time, I know advisors out there are still using massive amounts of Word documents that are then taking snippets out. And in my opinion, that is kind of less compliant because you've got lots of human intervention there of going in and out and in and out and making sure that these things are there. And not just that, if there's regulatory changes, not adding them in, making sure they're not there. But if you have something like AI who is well aware of potential regulatory changes, it will add it into this report in the future that you don't have to even worry about that from a compliance point of view, let alone from a scaling up point of view or doing a report in half an hour, which would normally take a morning for your paraplanner.
Thanks. That's great, Claire. Can I come back to you? Where do you see yourselves going next?
I think the thing where we're looking next is about getting the suitability, that joining that gap, the fact find completed and the suitability report production is the next step for us. So we're moving into looking at that area now and just piloting some stuff to see what works.
That does seem to be a very popular subject. I mean, again, comparison with the US. One more question just gone up, people, if you could answer, where do you see the most benefit in the onboarding process that AI can deliver to you? But if I make a comparison with the AI, with the US, I mean, over there, they've got some estate planning is far more popular in the States. I think it's fair to say there are a lot more AI providers going into it, firm like FP Alpha, who literally you can scan in the whole estate plan. The system takes it, looks at all the data, produces a whole new estate plan for the customer. Obviously, with all the IHT changes in the UK, estate planning is likely to become much, much more popular. So I think we'll see that, as a huge growth area. Is there any more? We're just under 10 minutes left. If there are any questions anybody wanted to particularly get asked from today that we haven't addressed, could I ask people to put questions in the chat now before I come to Paul and say to you, same question, what's next?
I suppose it's sort of two phases really for me, is the fact that what's next for AI and what's next for IWP from a point of view of that. I think the big win for me at the moment, and moving forward as well, this will be a huge win, is the document processing. Okay, and not only client documents, but regulatory documents. I mean, the FCA handbook changes every year. It'd be nice to get a quite easy summary of the changes that's happening, the impact on your portfolios, your business, because the AI knows your business better than you do, essentially. AI never forgets anything. So, and you take that one step further into a client document. A client uploads a document that not only does the metadata get created that tells you what type of document is and when it was created, but it also looks at the context and the content of that document to give you search terms. So I'm not just searching for an ISA. What I'm searching for is, I don't know, I'm searching for you know, a child's name or a date of birth or someone turning 18, or I'm searching for someone who wants to downsize or upsize, or I want someone who wants to emigrate. You know, all of those things, you'll be able to find those out from the documents that are being uploaded, as well as processing the risk side of it and the compliance side of it and doing things like KYC and verification of ID checks. You know, it would be great to have an onboarding wizard that actually sort of allowed you, the client, to upload those documents, auto-checked, made sure they are the say they are. If you need enhanced due diligence because they're a firm director or whatever, you go through that automatically. You know, if the client hasn't got a driving license with them and they need to do it, it sets a task aside and puts a nudge on the client, so they get a text message in a couple of days' time to say you still haven't uploaded your driving license. That's the next level for sort of me. And I think that automation is massive.
That's great. Jason's just dropped in details of the subjects that we're going to be covering at the Empowering Advice Through Technology Conference. For anybody that wants to know more about what's included, it's the 30th of November in central London. I'd like to come back to a question that Emma Warren's asked. How do you find out where the data is stored? I mean, my obvious answer is, you know, ask and be very specific in asking for written confirmation from your supplier on that point. It is absolutely crucial. But anybody want to add any more to that?
No, it's just a simple question. Mm-hmm. You know, where are your servers? You know, have you got the proper, you know, disaster recovery in BCP? You know, do you encrypt your data when it's stored in your data warehouses? And that's, those questions are the same questions you should be asking of any software vendor that's providing a tool.
I think it's depending on the size of your firm as well and who you have and, you know, what resources you have. Get your IT guys and get your information systems guys involved in the conversations. I am not the expert when it comes to the tech side of it. I'm here from a compliance point of view and a risk point of view. Get the right people. And if you've got resources outside, you know, if you've got third party resources that can come and help you with that, then so be it. But I would get the right people asking the questions.